We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Kuf Ayin Zayin, the bottom paragraph. The Magen Midubna had been expanding on the idea that we shouldn't have this infatuation with the material, the physical aspects of this world. That should not be where we focus our love. And he said, he gave a few reasons for it, and the last thing we had discussed was that if you think about it, the material things can be passing and it's beyond our control. We can't hold on to them. Either the thing itself can get destroyed, you don't have control over how long your cell phone lasts, your laptop lasts, your iPhone, you don't have control over that. Or sometimes a person can't benefit from the material things he has in this world because you have no control over how long you can gain from it. And we discussed the story of Mr. Berman, who owned all the bread in Jerusalem but couldn't eat it. So sometimes you have the material thing, but God doesn't give a person the capacity to enjoy it. So he says that infatuation with material things is an error from this logical standpoint as well. And as you see, there are so many areas where things can get destroyed, where one can be prevented from benefiting from them, and this applies to the crops, to the fruit, to the fields, to the vineyards, to the cattle. Here you have things which their whole essence is to benefit man. What are you going to do with the grape? You know, the whole point is eat it, make wine. And even so, the potential for harm and the potential that a person will not be able to benefit from them is always ever present. Certainly, when you have things that are not directly beneficial to man, you know, take money. There's no direct benefit to having money. Money is potential. But it's not the money itself that can make you happy. How much more so will it be that there are things that can get in the way of deriving the benefit from it? It's just a social agreement that we all strive for it. But the truth is that the thing itself, well, what do you love the money for? You take that little green piece of paper, or what's a pound look like? I don't know. White and red, yeah.
It looks like a
tenth of a coin pulled out of something. Okay. So, what are you in love with it for? The truth is, you have no benefit from it. It has potential to give you long-term benefit. You use it for the right things. You use coins, you use money to buy things you need to live. Look, people are so happy when they get a lot of money, and they're so upset when they lose a lot of money. Well, money is potential to do things with it. Money in its own right has no benefit. It has potential. What are you so happy about? What do you love the money for? You need to buy food with the money. No one's contesting that. But then you shouldn't love the money. We love life, but we shouldn't love money. Think about it. How much a person has to work, how much effort a person has to invest until he becomes wealthy. When a person attains that state and he's used his own two hands to collect and to save, and finally he's amassed a great wealth, he hasn't yet attained anything. It's only if he can benefit from his wealth. Then he can thank Hashem for what he has. But he can't be happy over the future. And you can't really be happy. That's not the root of happiness. It's potential. It's potential to do. But who said you'll ever gain that potential? This week I got a phone call. A person I know was... we discussed about 2 decades ago. We discussed that he should retire because he had enough millions. And he said to me, no, I got to have more millions. So he's been working 2 decades. And now something happened legally with his company, and there's a danger that he's going to be sued by the government. And it could be he doesn't know if he's going to have a penny to his name by the end of the year. He doesn't even know if he'll be out of jail by the end of the year. Someone in his company did something illegal, and it's not clear that he's going to be able to prove that he's innocent, and it's not clear that he's going to have a penny, and it's not clear that he's even going to be with his own family by the end of the year. Now, where's all that wealth? 20 years ago, I sat with him and I asked him, why don't you just do good with the world? You have money. You have more money than you can use in this lifetime. No, he wants more. He had a whole bunch of reasons why he should make more. So he worked like a dog the last 20 years. And now there's a question whether he'll even be able to enjoy that money. The Magen Midovna says, you have people who work and work and work and they have it. Well, that's not happiness yet. There's a question, will you be one of those select people that God blesses that they can enjoy their wealth or not? As we discussed earlier, you have Haman, the wealthiest man, amassed all this wealth, and in the end, his archenemy gets all that wealth. Mordechai inherits it all. He doesn't get to enjoy it. He was so wealthy, but he kept trying to get more. And if you're in love with this world, if you're in love with the money, so then the money ain't going to give you happiness. The money is potential. You can use it. You can use it for good things. And there's no point in being happy over the future because you don't control the future. That was his point in this chapter. He said, you can't guarantee your health. You can't guarantee your wealth. You can't guarantee your capacity to enjoy the material things in this world. So to be madly in love with something that's completely beyond your control, and from our perspective, it's arbitrary. Go prove, why did this guy get to enjoy his wealth and that guy didn't? We don't know the reason behind it. King Solomon lamented this. He said, you know, it's a terrible thing in the world. People sometimes make all this money and then they don't get to enjoy it. Other people, their archenemies, enjoy it. And we discussed the stories from the Second Temple where the king's own children murdered them and then enjoyed their parents' wealth. So there's no real logic in being happy over the future because you don't know what the future is going to bring. He says, you know, we spoke about money, but it's an example. The truth is all material things in this world. For example, let's talk about a wife and children. Let's say you're married, you get a wife. You don't yet know whether she's going to be one of those women who are your partner and make life the greatest joy on the planet, or one of those women that make life worse than hell. The Pasuk says, "Umotzani mar mimavet." King Solomon says, I find the woman to be worse than death. There are such women. And every person enters marriage thinking he's entering bliss. You don't know. Ulai lo tolid banim. You don't even know if this wife is going to be healthy. You don't know if you're going to be able to have kids together. You don't know if you'll have the merit to raise the children together or not. You don't know. Maybe the kids will be children who are so poor in their intellectual capacities that they won't be a source of comfort, but rather a source of pain. How many people we know had to bury their children and their children gave them such anguish? We have the great sage Eli HaKohen. He had two children. He buried them both. And they both brought about the destruction of his own home. So what's the happiness? The happiness is what? You don't know yet where it's going. Our sages said you have to worry till the last clod of earth on your grave. Meaning, you have no control. So you got to talk to the one who does control it. But we don't have control. So if you're going to be happy over the material world, well, the material world is not within your control. You don't control many things in your life. All the material things in your life are beyond your control. Our health is not in our control. Our wealth is not in our control. Our marriage, to a certain extent, is not in our control. Just today, we were learning the Gemara about can a person who goes insane get married, get divorced? What do we do in situations of insanity? And it reminded me of a story I witnessed. A couple was married, everything was great. And then slowly but surely, the man became more and more strange until he ended up in an insane asylum. Who could control that? You could control that?
Was he a student?
Was he a student? Yeah. We have no control. He was not a student here. I wasn't referring to a student here. No. The person happened to have been old enough to be my parent. Meaning I knew his kids. I knew him as a person in the community. I wasn't like friends with him. I was friendly with his kids. But the whole community saw it, how the guy started acting strange. And in the span of a few months, I don't remember if it was a year or 2 years, he just went crazy. No one knows why. At least they didn't tell us why. We don't know why. No. They tried. They weren't successful in combating it. No. Now these are things, there are all kinds of things beyond our control. So if we're going to invest our happiness in this world, we have to realize we're playing Russian roulette. You have no control over this world. So that's not the place that should be the source of one's happiness, because that can't be, you don't have control over it. We try to make a parnasa, we try to make a living, you try to lead a good life, you try to have a good marriage, you try to raise good kids, but at the end of the day, there are so many factors in the material world that are beyond our control. So that shouldn't be our source of happiness, says the Magen Midovna. Maybe we'll do one more paragraph. Mashal, what's this similar to? Le'echad dal bikfar ben ayarim al aderech b'michsat nefashot lo kabir. A guy was living in the middle of a forest, and he's in a dangerous place. What's that called in England? In the United States, you'd say Harlem. I don't know what you'd say in England. East London. Okay, the guy lives in East London. Vayi balayla, one night, bal beito gibor chayil isharitz mesubav b'chlim mashchit. A guy comes to his house, and he sees this huge guy standing outside his house, and he has a bunch of knives and brass knuckles and nunchucks, and he's coming with a knife in between his teeth, and he's got every form of weapon on him, and he's coming to this guy's house. And he recognizes this guy's a thief and a murderer. And he's drunk. And he's angry. And he's walking up the path. And this is where we'll pick up next time.